Welcome to Diagram Dialogues, a podcast that explores the forces transforming healthcare across Asia-Pacific and the ways in which diagnostics is shaping this future. These episodes will feature leading voices, from innovators and changemakers to patient advocates who are dreaming of a better tomorrow and making it a reality. Hear how they are innovating diagnostics, shaping healthcare, and changing lives. Hi, and welcome back to Diagram Dialogues. I'm your host, Jonathan Chan. And today I'm joined by Dr. Catherine Fan, a cardiology specialist based in Hong Kong. Dr. Fan graduated from the University of Dundee, Scotland, and subsequently received her cardiology training in Hong Kong. She completed her fellowship training in cardiac electrophysiology at the Stanford University Medical Center, and her interests lie in the area of cardiac electrophysiology and device therapy for heart failure. Dr. Fan has also published numerous articles and has been a lecturer on topics such as heart failure management and device therapy and cardiac transplantations. So Dr. Fan, welcome to the podcast. And to begin our conversation, I want to explore your thoughts on treating heart failure. As a leader and change driver in heart failure management, what excites you the most in this field?
I think this has come a long way rather than a spontaneous sparkle in my career. I actually work in quite a unique hospital where we are the tertiary referral center for heart transplantation in Hong Kong. So as a result of that, when I took over the heart transplant service about, I think, 12, 13 years ago, I started seeing a lot of patients being referred to us with really bad, poor end-stage heart failure. But as a result of the sacred numbers of donor heart, we actually have to look after these end-stage heart failure patients, which triggers me to start looking further upstream of how come all these patients can be ended in such a poor state when they eventually was referred to us in my hospital. And then that's just bring my attention to how the heart failure service is being, what the status is like in Hong Kong, say when I pick up the service. So it was pretty shocking to me that somehow with the current status of technology and medical science and our level of care in Hong Kong, we are still having almost like an epidemic of heart failure patients. So this triggered me to start to see what I can further do to improve the service before all these end-stage heart failure patients come to us, but with very little hope of getting a heart transplant.
Were there any particular patients or cases which triggered your passion for improving heart failure management?
Actually, because of all the patients coming to us working up for heart transplant, a lot of cases to me really stick to my mind, especially the younger group of patients. We're talking about in their 20s, in their 30s, those patients with a dilated cardiomyopathy with end-stage heart failure. So they came to us with still a very young family. They still have their job and their career to look forward to. And then they were diagnosed to have end-stage heart failure. All medication at that time failed to control their symptoms, and they have to seek for possible heart transplantation as their last resort out.
How often do you see these cases with younger patients, and why are these cases common?
The average age of patient being referred to us for consideration of heart transplant about in their mid-40s. That's relatively young. That's a lot of part and partial because, first of all, you have younger age of presentation of acute heart attack. But in fact, with the availability of better improvements such as percutaneous coronary interventions, various medication, these patients survive their heart attack. But as time goes by, the damage was done, and then they ended up having heart failure. So eventually, heart failure is a lot of the final pathway for a lot of heart disease. So that's why we are being faced with a relatively young populations of patients presented with poorly controlled heart failure.
So in your ideal world, what would the care for heart failure patients and heart failure management look like, particularly in the clinical service setting?
I think in the ideal world, I would like to make sure we have we can improve all stages of even starting prevention and treatment of heart failure And we should have a patient-centered continuity of care provided for this group of patients. The number of patients are increasing, and a lot of time, the first thing they presented are actually in A&E department in a hospital. So after they were admitted, they were managed initially. A lot of time, there was not a sustainable or continuous care provided for these patients. So they just get sent home. And the next time they decompensate, they again went straight into hospital. And we know by now that each acute heart failure admissions, subsequent heart failure admission to each patient, actually further worsen their prognosis. So I think we need to try to work out some way to improve their post-discharge care with multidisciplinary team, as well as try to avoid preventable hospital readmissions. And there's a lot of things we need to introduce or try to make it sustainable, so such as how doctors titrate their medication, introduction of biomarkers for diagnosis of heart failure, you know, strengthen our diagnostic capability, including cardiac echocardiogram. It's a lot of ongoing issues that I think we need to sort out or iron out before we can have an ideal heart failure service in Hong Kong.
I see. So you mentioned that prevention is very important and that you'd like to see the diagnostic capabilities of the hospital be strengthened. So how big of a role do you think diagnostics is playing in heart failure management? And do you think it should play a bigger role in the future?
I think nowadays we are talking about more on, you know, how to prevent or try to identify those patients who we know that if a time goes by with no proper intervention being introduced, they will end up with heart disease of some sort. Although other comorbidities such as diabetes, kidney disease, etc. So a lot of time we are now, sometimes our colleagues are thinking of how to bring talks to the younger generation, even in the schools, telling them what is the problems with metabolic disease and obesity, hyperlipidemia, hypertension, etc. So of course, if you have additional laboratory works that can help us to, because there's such a large volume, and if you expect a single physician to go around and looking out for all these patients, it's going to be difficult. So you have some sort of prognostic agent or prognostic way that we can tell a risk score, that we can identify patients who may will be, you know, will have a slightly worse prognosis than the others. Then it sort of filter our workload and we can concentrate on those who needed the attention most.
Can you share with us some of the work you've been doing in improving heart failure management?
I myself am very excited that because our cardiac colleagues in Hong Kong are now willing to sit together and try to look through and identify service gaps in setting up regarding our heart failure service in Hong Kong. And if we try to identify the gaps that we need to improve, raise the awareness, and we are trying to set up a proper heart failure service model in Hong Kong.
With the ongoing pandemic, how has COVID-19 affected heart failure management?
Well, COVID-19, of course, initially we are seeing patients who are less coming forth with their presentation of the disease. If you know what I mean, it's like, for example, they are documented that patients who may have chest pain or new onset of heart failure, but they are too scared to go into hospital to get a checkup. So we do have information that there are some delay in presentation or provision of medical care in some of these patients who were reluctant to present themselves to hospital. So this is one of the sort of drawbacks. But on the other hand, it gives us an opportunity to push something new, such as the telehealth service, remote monitoring. And then I'm glad to see that we have also start to recognize the potential of using telemedicine, because COVID has actually really pushed this mode of service very quickly. So you have it down and you have the upside of the COVID.
That's interesting. So are these telemedicine services popular with the patients?
I think they're okay. I think that people are accepting more, and surprisingly, even the elderly group of patients, we think the elderly will not be able to cope, that we just, we are saying now whoever got a smartphone can start some kind of services like this. So it can be from teleconsultation to sending forth their parameters such as blood pressure and body weight. And we started some sort of cardiac rehabilitation for heart failure patient last year as well. So the physiotherapy can show them how to do exercise on screen. Just like, you know, during the COVID, you have a lot of online on screen projects such as yoga and exercise training. So this is quite a big opportunity to look into.
So how about the doctors? Did you get any resistance from them to come on board?
Most of them are welcoming this, but I think I agree that there are issues such as the data privacy and cybersecurity, which sometimes we need to get that clarified and clear before, you know, rather than everybody just open a web page and started doing telemedicine or teleconsultation. But I think with the COVID last year and this year still, people are looking for further opportunities. That's definite.
How do you think the landscape of heart failure management in the APAC region will change in the years to come?
I think the heart failure service landscape is actually rapidly evolving because in recent years, we start to have new medical therapy, which come by from transitional research all the way up to clinical applications. You have exciting new agents being introduced after positive large randomized controlled trials, and the guidelines are being rapidly renewed when these agents are shown to have positive effects on management of heart failure. And then of course you have the interventional side. You have new gadgets for treatment of heart failure, valvular intervention, even mechanical surgery support. And, you know, we've been involved with starting the LVAD, the left ventricular assist device service in Hong Kong 10 years ago. And now we are doing a lot of this together with the cardiac thoracic surgeons. We are doing a lot of this for our heart failure patients as well. So there's a whole range of activities and an ongoing research and new intervention coming out from time to time. So the landscape will be in the APAC region is going to rapidly evolving, and I don't think it's any further lag behind from the European or the American medical cardiology heart failure services. So we are getting there, I think, and we are being receptive to all the new information and the new technology all the time.
That's interesting. So which new trends or technologies are you personally most excited about?
I think it's the use of the incorporation of telemedicine, and especially with also artificial intelligence, the big data. All these are helping us to get a grip of the heart failure patients, what they need, what kind of data, you know, we can help all these patients and get all the information out very quickly. Patient education is another rapidly established aspect that we have been doing as well, because in the past, not many people are aware of the severity or the seriousness of getting diagnosed heart failure. We always say that if someone was told that he has been diagnosed of a prostate cancer, he will be panicking, he will be looking up all the treatment, he will go and see all the doctors, get the newest treatment. And actually, prostate cancer most of the time now is a curable disease. But on the other hand, if you tell someone you are diagnosed with heart failure, I think their reaction will be a bit more complacent, or they might not understand the, you know, the seriousness of being diagnosed with heart failure. But nowadays, with more information and we are spending more time on patient education, although there still need rooms to improve, I think we are working on it. We need to develop a more patient-centered service rather than what it has been like before.
So does this mean that patients can now be more responsible for their own health management?
Oh yeah, patient empowerment is just as important. If we can engage them, every now and then people don't like the word heart failure because the word failure is so depressing and, hopelessness, representing hopelessness. But in a way, we have to tell them you have been diagnosed heart failure. You are not a failure, but just that your heart is being weak and have difficulty to function. And these are the four ways we can try to improve it. So this is somehow we need to bring out the message to get the patients engaged as well. So when I mentioned you have telemedicine, engaging themselves to input their blood pressure, their body weight, and then you have some dietary advice, our physiotherapy work on them through telecardi rehab. All these are trying to get the patient and the carer together to work with you and the heart failure team as well.
That's great to hear. Dr. Fan, I want to come back to an earlier point you made about how patients perceive prostate cancer very differently from heart failure. What do you think that is?
I think this is all already a preoccupied notion that, if you tell someone that you've been diagnosed to have cancer, this is the end of everything, there's no more hope. And, but with nowadays, current modern treatment, as sometimes even with breast cancer or prostate cancer. I don't mean all cancers are good things to have nowadays. But I think that with that treatment perspective, the newer treatments, the targeted therapy, there are still hope. And actually you may know prostate cancer are actually curable. But on the other hand, if you probably tell the same guy of the same age that you have heart failure and you need to take medication, you need to watch your diet, and the compliance is actually, I don't know if it is a denial or something like that, but you probably know that heart failure is not treated as seriously as you've been told to have diagnosed a cancer. Yet the outcome, the prognosis, and the current healthcare cost spent on heart failure, I think is much exceeded, or if not exceeded, almost equal to cancer therapy. So this is just one of those what we're facing when we talk to our patients. It takes a lot of work to tell them, you have to keep them positive mind and get them empowered, and they have to watch the diet and, monitor their body weight and then make sure they comply to their medication. All these actually, it takes a lot of work to get the patient engaged and regarding for patient empowerment. I think it's the word, or is it the impact, or is it the conception? I think a lot of them have been long ingrained into the general public's mind. So, but I'm glad to notice that in recent years, people start, especially the cardiologists, start taking notice of heart failure as a spectrum of disease and how to deal with it seriously.
In your experience, what has been the more effective ways to inspire your patients to take better care of their own health?
A lot of patients, when they come to us, they are pretty symptomatic and pretty end stage. So this psychosocial aspect is another very important matter that we have to look into, because their mood will be low and some of them are very withdrawn and, just think this is the end of the world for them. So there's a lot of lengthy discussion and, try to understand what their value in their life is. And so if we have our young patients with their young family, we have to talk to them and let them remind them how important it is to keep the family together, and you still have the young children to to raise them and to look after them. So a lot of time I find myself actually spend almost if not half or most of the time talking to them regarding how they face the challenge of carry on with this diagnosis of heart failure. Of course, the other thing which is unique from my point of view, because I have patients who have underwent successful heart transplant, and then you can see the marked difference between them when they have receive a new heart. They come off successfully, they were discharged, they get back to the society, they can join the family again, and etc. So after I've seen a bit of both sides of the world, so it's not easy.
My last question before I let you go, Dr. Fan, a more personal question, but what keeps you going and give you fulfillment in your work?
honestly, is to see the patient's well-being and how they can get back on their feet. And I think by the time, without a heart failure, you know, other than the heart transplant, a lot of patients cannot sort of get a cure. But how to get their quality of life back, and you know, how they can enjoy a better quality. I often say that I can't guarantee you to live longer till 100 years old. But what I like to see is your quality of life is improved, is getting better. You can do the activities that you want to do, as you know, if possible, and that you can be with your family again. So in a way, it sounds a bit blasé, but it is really to see the patients, how they can improve with what we know, what we can offer them, and how we can care for them. Is, I think this is just what keep me going, really. Working in the public sector, we see all walks of life and all the dynamics between the patient and his or her family and all these things. So if there's anything I can change a little bit to improve any of this, I think it's all worth all the energy and all the effort in my career, really.
Dr. Fan, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
And that is the end of this episode. Thanks for tuning in. To find out more about Roche Diagnostics and Diagram Dialogues, please visit rochediagram.com. Stay tuned for the next episode.